Well, this last song this morning, was a great description of what our ministry is. It's, we've been talking about the ministry that we have as jars of clay. It's those characteristics of His kindness, His goodness, His mercy. The forever part of that, which is His faithfulness, right? That God is always those things. And that those are things that we've discovered and we know by experience. This is the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the glory of God. That God has given us by unveiling our eyes. And so that changes us. It's those things that change us. When we can sing those words and that comes from a heart that's been unveiled, opened up. And the reality is that we have discovered these truths about God in our lives by in the things that we live out. That's the beginning of our ministry. And then what we do with that, once that happens, revealing that glory to other people, is our ministry. That's it. In a nutshell, it's the glory of God revealed in us and through us. I love that this morning. I hope that was meaningful to you as well. Last week, we ended up with our focal passage. I want to start today in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and read there and move on with Paul through this letter to this church that has had so many evidences of the fact that they are fleshly, right? They're worldly. And Paul is revealing to them his own flesh in this letter, which is encouraging. He's being vulnerable and transparent and showing his flesh. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason why Paul has up to this point, as we've been looking at these different statements that Paul has in this letter, revealing his flesh, revealing his tendencies as a human, as a fleshly person who's flawed. He reveals his weakness so for this very purpose, that the glory of God might be revealed. So picking up with verse 6, he says this, "For God, who said, light shine, let light shine out of darkness," appreciate all the songs about light this morning, "has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." So that's the treasure. It's this light. It's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And then verse 7, he says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." Why? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Everybody awake this morning? Ready to be engaged? Paul has been knocking this message down for us. I mean, he's been nailing it from the beginning of this letter. We've made it our focal passage for this series, being jars of glory. And last week in our discussions, we looked at the ministry of Paul. We talked about ministry of Paul. And Paul made it clear that the success of his ministry was going to be based on the Holy Spirit and not on his ability to manipulate men through whatever methods. He was discussing specifically legalism, but there were other things that he was accusing other men of doing. Paul was determined that the success of his ministry was going to be based on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work in the lives of men and not on his ability to manipulate men. Paul did this because Paul's motive for ministry was pure. And I believe the same is true for us. If we're willing to do that, to base our ministry on the Holy Spirit instead of on our abilities to manipulate men, then there's a possibility we might have the same motive, this pure motive. What was it? He was all about God's glory being revealed. He was all about revealing to men this light of the knowledge of the glory of God, the truth about who God was. And if there's anything that I believe that we need as a church and that this community needs desperately, it's that. It's the truth about who God is. It's the light that needs to be shined down on us, first of all, who most of us are stuck in some form of legalism. That the light of God, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus needs to shine down on us to reveal the truth about God. So Paul says there's this surpassing power that belongs to God and not to us. This surpassing power is revealed. It's supernatural. It's the unthinkable, the impossible work that God does. And he does it through natural, ignorant, weak, fallible, broken jars, right? How much more glorious is God's glory when there's nothing in us that people can see? So when in his flesh Paul was ready to die to suffering, in the first part of 2 Corinthians in this letter, he talks about that. When in his flesh he was ready to die in suffering, he had given up hope in the flesh. He was ready to give it all up. In the midst of that, then God brings comfort to Paul. And then he uses him in that to comfort others in their distress. When in his flesh Paul was accused of not being a deep theologian and all of the emotions that come with that, that threatens Paul's authority with the people that he's speaking to, all of the possibilities that go through Paul's mind of how this might affect his ministry, when all of that rises up and Paul is concerned about that, then God brings tremendous success through Paul's simple message, where he says, I just write in simple ways that you can understand it. When in his flesh, Paul wanted to go to certain places because he wanted to see certain people and bring ministry to certain places in his flesh, God interrupts that and brings him to another place where he needed to go, and he sees the power of God manifested and moving through his life. When in his flesh, Paul wanted to abstain from saying hard things to the church, God wrote a letter through Paul of correction to the church. And it drew the people closer to Paul with a deeper love. When in his flesh, Paul was tempted to get letters of recommendation from men so that the church would have something to go by in the flesh to counter the negative words that had been said about Paul. When in the flesh, he desired to do that and to get the approval of men who would accept his preaching. Instead, God gave him visible, living letters. And he based his validity then on, as a minister, on the glory of God as the glory was revealed through the church that he was writing to. When Paul was tempted to use persuasive speech and to manipulative methods to get people to follow him and to build up his own reputation, when he thought about that, God instead convicts him and leads him to depend on the Spirit of God to work in people. And so Paul gets it. He gets it, and he's trying to help us to understand this. That if we walk in the Spirit, the best way for people to gain the knowledge of the glory of God is for them to see it in broken jars, in messed up, ignorant, weak people who are not ashamed to show it, who are willing to reveal it. We don't glory in that. We don't glory in our flesh. We don't glory in our weakness, but we are glad to have the weakness. We embrace the weakness because that's where God is made strong. That's where his glory shines the brightest. And so Paul goes on in verse 8 to summarize all those things that we've already talked about. He says this in verse 8. He says, we are afflicted in every way but not crushed. We're perplexed in our minds, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted but not forsaken. We're struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying in our body the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might also be manifested in our bodies. In verse 11, here is the definition of a jar. Y'all ready for this? Everybody say, oh yeah. Ready? Really? Seems like everybody's kind of in a fog, okay? So maybe I'm wrong, but man, get this. Here's the definition of us. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is always at work in us, but life in you. This is what happens as we carry the death of Christ in our bodies so that the life of Christ may be manifested in our bodies. This is what happens. People see the glory of God. When we carry the death of Christ in our bodies, when we, along with Christ, die to sin, as Peter talks about, Jesus bore our sins on his body on the cross that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. That when we carry that and we are putting away the flesh, as Paul talks about, when we are putting away the deeds of darkness, then the glory of God can shine through us. And so we, as ministers, we need to be careful to walk in both of these. So walk in the death of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ, being crucified with him, but being crucified daily with him, that the glory of God might be revealed through us. In verse 13, he says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. And that's a quote out of Psalm 116. He says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. And what he's saying is that it's because we believe, our eyes have been opened, the things that he's speaking comes from the Spirit. But he says, we also believe and we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and brings us with you into his presence. Now listen to verse 15. Here's our ministry again. For it is all for your sake, so that the grace extends to more and more people. It may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. As grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. You want to know what evangelism is? You know, we talk about evangelism a lot in Southern Baptist circles. We talk about programs and ideas. We talk about methodologies when we talk about evangelism. If I were to ask you to describe evangelism, probably it would be some sort of method of getting the word out. And here's what the scripture, what Paul describes as evangelism. It's the spreading of the knowledge of the glory of God. Right? That people may increase in thanksgiving to the glory of God. It's the spreading of this knowledge, extending it to more and more people. It's getting this knowledge of the truth about who God is into the hands of people who don't already have it. And so, if you guys have friends who are not believers, God will use you because as your eyes have been unveiled, as we talked about last week, your eyes have been unveiled and you see the glory of God and you are being changed by that from one degree of glory to the next, then the glory of God is being revealed to you and through you to the people around you. That is evangelism. It's revealing the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the glory of God to people who are lost, people who are in your life who have no clue about who Christ is. It is not inviting people to a church. Matter of fact, in our culture, what I'm finding is that people, again, despise the church. They don't want to have anything to do with the church. And the people that might come here, most times will come because they've had some church background. But the people that I know who have no church background, who are lost, legitimately have no communication, are not in touch with anybody who knows God, they don't want to come to a church. But you are the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope that somebody will see the truth about who he is. And so Paul describes that here. And he has faith in that. Our ministry is increasing the number of people who gain knowledge of the glory of God and whose hearts become thankful. You want to know what discipleship is? What do you think? Think about it for a minute. What is discipleship? if this is the ministry that we have, then what is discipleship? Discipleship is once a person becomes a believer that we don't give up on continuing to share the knowledge that we have about the glory of God that's been revealed to us as we've walked with God through life. The only ministry of discipleship that I have to you legitimately is the ministry of the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God that I have discovered. That is my way of giving it, of discipling. I can't share with you something I haven't discovered. If I do, that's not discipleship. Discipleship is not sharing information. Discipleship is sharing truth that comes from what I've experienced. It's my testimony. And so the same thing is true for discipleship. Paul is giving us the secrets to effective ministry here. He's saying, you know, my effective ministry comes in this way. I am nothing. God is everything. I used to be something. I put that away. I consider that to be rubbish, to be dung, literally, compared to knowing Christ. And I'm willing to suffer anything in order to bring that to you. Paul certainly was persecuted. But in his persecution, he's not crushed by that, because in his persecution, he's being persecuted because he's trying to reveal the glory of God. So that's our ministry, and it's increasing the number of people who can see the truth about who God is, increasing the number of people who have a knowledge of the truth about who God is. So how does that apply to us? Church, listen. We have a very much needed ministry in this body. And I can tell you without any hesitation, man, this week I have felt like Satan has been trying to steal that away in any way possible. And we better be aware as a church, we better be aware of the reality that Satan knows what we're doing. He is very much aware of the fact that we understand that we have this treasure, and we know that we have the possibility, the probability, I believe, in this body of giving this away to people in a way that they will see it. And their eyes will be unveiled and their lives will be radically changed. And that's what's going to change the community. And so Satan hates that. And he would rob you of the opportunity of knowing that this morning, even by whatever means that is necessary. We need to understand the significance of this ministry. It's not complicated. It's simple, really. You get the best life possible. You get to know God who reveals himself to you on a daily basis. And your ministry is just allowing the light to shine out of your life. And it's something you're excited about. And I'm preaching to the church. Well, of course, you're the church. But I'm preaching, you know that saying. I'm preaching to people. I look across the congregation. I see evidence of this in your life. And it's so beautiful to see that God is using you. The knowledge that you've gained about God, that's in contrast as believers to what was keeping you in bondage in your growing up years. Man, that knowledge, that new knowledge that you've gained about God that has set you free, that you're walking in, that lights you up. And that's the ministry that we have to share. And so it doesn't matter what happens to us. It doesn't matter if negative things come. It doesn't matter if Satan attacks. Because we will not lose heart in this ministry. Nothing can steal that away from us. No one can steal it away from me personally. It doesn't matter what life circumstances come my way. I may spend a lot of time in my head spinning around like I did this week about issues and things that go on in ministry. But here's one thing that doesn't ever happen to me anymore. I don't lose heart. I don't lose heart. I know God. I know enough about God that my heart is always full. My expectations are always strong. Y'all with me? And we need that. We need that understanding. Paul in verse 16 says, so we do not lose heart. In reference to this, our ministry, with these things in mind, that we are afflicted, we are perplexed, we are persecuted. All those things are true. But he says, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So he says our self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Now, I want to just talk about this for a second before we get to that. He says it's a momentary affliction. And some of you might be out there saying, well, Glenn, you don't realize this has not been momentary for me. I've been suffering with whatever for years or months, and I'm tired of it, man. I'm fed up. I can't take any more of it. You're not even in the ballpark. He's talking about your whole life being momentary, right? He's talking about your whole life, the time you were born, the time you die. This is momentary. And he goes on to describe that by saying the things that we see will be gone, right? In this life, things are momentary. We're transients in this world. So the affliction that we face, it should be expected. Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation in this world, right? That's expected. Quit whining. Don't whine and shine, right? I mean, that's coming. We know that. So don't lose heart when affliction comes. It's coming. That's what happens in this world. And the best experiences that we can have in this world are to get to know God in the middle of it, to see the glory of God, to experience the glory of God, the power of God moving and manifesting himself in our lives, through our lives and the lives of others, bringing hope to people. It's easy for us, though, to lose heart if we're focused on our weaknesses all the time. And Paul says in verse 5, he goes on to talk about this idea of our outer self wasting away. He says, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. I love that. I can't wait for that, right? That what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So here's what Paul says. We groan in these bodies. Paul's given us examples. We just recovered some of those from our past messages, right? Paul gives us examples in this passage today of ways that we are afflicted in this body. The more knowledge we gain of the glory of God, church, listen, I hate to tell you this, but it's the truth. The more knowledge we gain of the glory of God, the more we'll groan in these bodies. Because when we see God for who he is, then this is what the Spirit does inside of us. When we see God for who he is, the Spirit changes our will and causes us to want to be like him. So when we see the grace of God, for instance, when you had your grace awakening, right? When you saw the grace of God as being not only for salvation, but also after salvation, that Christ is our righteousness. That when God looks at us, he sees the perfect Son, right? Not us. When you had that grace awakening, all of a sudden, man, you want to give grace to other people. You see the effect that grace had on you, and you're changed by that. Your will changes, and God's Spirit works in us to will to give grace to others because we saw something about God that's so attractive, so beautiful. And we want to give that to somebody else. So here's the process that Paul is unveiling regarding ministry in this passage. Y'all with me? Say, oh yeah. All right, grab this. Here's the ministry that we have. God unveiled our eyes to see His glory. If you're here today and you're a child of God, God unveiled your eyes to see His glory. If you're here today and your eyes have not been unveiled and you haven't yet seen the glory of God, then just ask the Lord to do that for you. Ask God to open your eyes to see the truth of who He is. And it happens in your heart, man. Your heart will be transformed by that. It's a beautiful thing, man, to watch that happen in someone's lives when their eyes are unveiled and they see the glory of God. And according to the passage we read last week, when our eyes are opened, when the veil comes off of our eyes, then we turn to God. We turn to God. And God continues to reveal His glory to us who have no longer have veiled eyes, right? There's no truth about God that we can't understand. God gives us understanding, deeper understanding of the truth about who He is. So He continues to reveal His glory to us, and we see Him for who He is. And we begin to be changed by that, changed into His likeness. But here's what happens for all of us. It happens for all of us. It happens for your pastor. It happened all week long this week. Here's what happens for all of us. Our bodies fight against that. Our bodies fight against us being changed into the likeness of God. As much as our hearts want to do it, our bodies fight that. Now, we have the power, according to the Scripture. God works in us to will and to act according to His good pleasure. So God works in us and gives us victory. We need to walk in that. But our bodies fight against it. And I don't know how you guys feel, but here's what I experience on a regular basis. I am constantly wishing. I know where the source of conflict is. I know that it's in my flesh because my heart desires to know God, to be like Him. And so if you're like me, man, I get sick and tired of the struggles. I'm so tired of struggling with this body, right? Because here's the truth, right? We've talked about this before, but remember, for those of you here for the first time, maybe haven't heard this before, but when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is passed away. Literally, the way we use passed away, He's dead. The old man is dead. The new has come. The Spirit of God is not going to share your spirit with your old flesh. On the inside, you've been transformed and are being transformed. But you have a new spirit already. The only part that's not new yet is this part, the part that we look at. It's the gray matter that thinks the way I've always thought. It's the habits that I've developed in this body. This literally, Paul says, it's the members of my body waging war against my mind. It's the members of my body. This is the culprit, the part you're looking at. The part that you feel, the part that you see in the mirror every day. This is the part that hadn't changed yet. And when I see the glory of God, man, my heart is changed. And I want to be like Him in my spirit. Everything in me that's eternal cries out, God, I want to be like You. I want to have these characteristics in my life. I want to reveal this to other people. I want them to see this in me. And yet I constantly struggle with this flesh. Old habits, old ways of thinking. Now, this past week has been huge struggles for me. I mean, I'll share one of them with you. And it's not so much amazing anymore. It's expected, but it's always cool how God takes a message that I've got to deal with during the week and puts it in my life. So whether you guys get any benefit out of it or not, this is a good day, right? Because I already got a good benefit out of it. I found out Friday that Horseshoe Drive is, they voted Thursday night, that they're not going to let us come. All right? They decided not to let us come. So that's a good thing. All right? I understand that. I know in my spirit that that's good. I know that God has completed whatever work He was going to do. Well, I mean, He's still working on me. So he has used that process, getting us over there to do whatever He's going to do, and will continue to do in them and in us. You know, the pot, we're on the potter's wheel, always spinning, right? We never get off. Potter's always cutting stff away. We're branches that are always being pruned so we can bear more fruit. I know all this stuff. Man, Scripture, you know, kept coming, and all the confirmation that, you know, all the elders got, and we knew what we were supposed to do, and we did what we were supposed to do. I mean, there's no doubt that we did what we were supposed to do. We obeyed God. But you know what goes through my mind all week long? Man, you need a place to meet, or people are going to quit coming. Man, you need to figure out something. You need to take control. Get this thing figured out. Man, you're such a weak pastor. You can't even make a decision about where to put the people. All week long. This broken record, I could go on and on about the things that God keeps, or Satan keeps throwing into my mind. That my flesh, my old flesh patterns. I used to be successful. I'm not anymore. Why? Because I gave God control. Right? When I used to be in control, I had success. People liked me. I could gather a crowd. I could persuade people to do stuff. And all that comes back, and that's, I want to go back and do that again. Let's go do what's easy. Let's build us a building. We got plenty of money, by the way, church, to build a building. Y'all know that, right? We got enough money to build a church. We can build a nice building. But that's not what God's told us to do, and I don't know why. Other than, God has the cattle on 1,000 hills. It doesn't make sense that he doesn't have enough money to give us. But at this point, the conviction of the heart of the elders is that God's saying, we want you to spend that. I want you to spend that money on ministry and missions, community ministry and helping the poor and doing work in the community. And if for no other reason, I think it's so we don't take control, build ourselves up, get a name for ourselves. But all this stuff's been going through my head all week long. I want to be done with this body. Y'all with me? I want to be done with those thoughts, done with any ideas that are contrary to God, done with any ideas that makes me want to take control, makes me want to jump in the driver's seat again, makes me want to look good, makes me want to be perceived by people as being a man of success. I'm tired of that. That's the feel, I believe, of what Paul's trying to tell us this morning. He said, we've grown in these bodies, but we're encouraged. Because we're not going to have these bodies, but just for a short period of time. Scripture describes this life as a vapor. Right? It's going to be gone in a very short time. This life is nothing compared to the glory of God. And spending eternity with God in his glory with no body fighting against me, no thoughts that compete with the thoughts of God. No flesh patterns that I have to keep in check all the time. No nights of things running through my head and I can't sleep anymore. Are y'all with me? Y'all feeling what I'm feeling? Don't make it about me. Make it about you. I'm sure you have your own place to plug that in, right? So Paul says, man, here it is. Here's what we have. We have this beautiful, beautiful knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus has been given to us by his Spirit. And some of us have more of that because we've walked longer with God, or maybe we didn't have the flesh patterns, or we didn't have religion trying to hold us back from seeing the beauty of who God is, whatever. But whatever you have, whatever knowledge you have of the glory of God, feast on that every day. Walk in that every day. Be encouraged that whatever competes with that is going to be gone one day. And just share that with people. Let people see the beauty of who God is in your life. And pray for one another and for your pastor that this stuff will get out of my head. Now, here's what I know. I don't trust myself to operate by some list of rules and regulations, but I do trust this and have boldness about this. The Spirit will speak. He knows what our motive is. Our motive as elders of the church, and most of us, I'm sure, as members of this body, our motive is to see the glory of God revealed to the people in this community. That they would be changed by the truth about who God is. We want that to happen. That's our motive, and God's going to protect. God's not going to let this guy's weakness stop that from happening. And he's not going to let your weakness stop it from happening either. But let's join together. Let's work together to as Paul's admonishing us in this passage. Let's work together, keeping our eyes fixed on Christ, keeping our hope set on what's coming, and just let the Holy Spirit have his way in our lives. What does that look like on a daily basis? Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Be sensitive to the moment-by-moment promptings of the Holy Spirit. As you read the Word, as you walk through life, be sensitive to that. As you're doing that, take steps of action based on what God leads you to do through your reading of the Word, through the Spirit's leadership. Obey what God says. When you obey what He says, with the faith that you have, and you do what God tells you to do, then God's going to reveal more of Himself to you. Jesus said, if you obey my commandments, the Father will love you and I will love you and reveal myself to you. And so this revelation of God through God-exclusive activity that we can't do, it takes the surpassing power of God in a jar of clay for these things to be done. Those things will be done, and we will see God as so much more than what we've boxed up for most of our lives. We will see Him as so much more than what we've been able to put in a box and hold on to and define all of our lives. He is redefining for me my understanding of who He is. So let's walk in that, right? And then as we get to know God in a deeper way, it's going to change who we are. It'll inform our faith. It'll inform our obedience to the next command that God gives. And we will be walking in the Spirit. All right, that's the church that I hope God will make us. We can't do it in our own power, but we are jars of clay, anxious to see the knowledge of the glory of God revealed in us and through us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to experience you in so many ways this week. Father, we confess as a church that we groan in these tents. And we long to be in our heavenly home. But Father, we are of good courage today because we know that while we're at home in the body and away from the Lord, we have faith that we will be in your presence one day. And we have hope, God, that even while we're in these earthly tents, that struggle and fight against all that you have put into us, that your glory can be revealed through us. And so help us. Help us to gain more knowledge of the glory of God by being obedient to the things that you tell us to do. Unveil our eyes, continue to unveil our eyes in the places where the veil may already and continually covering it, the truth. We turn to you, God, and ask you to continue to reveal your glory. Make us evangelists and disciplers, working through and fighting through the things that our body rejects from you. And God, just being a light, allowing your light to shine through us in this community. We praise you, God, for all that you have revealed. And we long to see more. We long to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.